Mikey and Ren Eden,
yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Hello, everybody.
I always wait for it every time.
If you guys want to go back into a scavenger hunt, you can find Mike's little lip snaps and collect 100 of them and you get a puppy.
We should do Jesus Christ. We should do a little lip smack remix.
Oh, I like that. Okay, welcome to Mike. What? Oh my God, we're a mess. Welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In, a professional podcast about mouth sounds.
That's Mikey over there, and I'm Rin, acupuncturist, herbalist, eater, and we've got Chefy Mike over there.
That's me. Mm-hmm. We have a show that's just about lots of fun stuff. It's mostly about edible things in the world. Mm-hmm. It's also about just dumb shit that comes up in our life. If you've been listening to the show for a while, that's also included, including our baby. So our baby's name is Riggs. You should know that. It's part of the canon of the show, so know it.
It is so Rigatoni, to be more precise. That's not his legal name, but isn't it?
It is. I mean, we called him Rigatoni Party Time when he was in the oven, and by oven I mean tummy. By tummy I mean uterus.
Did we call him that? It wasn't until I was actually pregnant, because for those of you who haven't listened to the show, Riggsy was a frozen embryo before he was a full-grown little lad that he is now.
For sure.
And I was trying to remember when the inception of the nickname. I think I was actually pregnant. I don't think we called his little embryo Rigatoni Party Time.
I have no idea. And I don't even know why we started with that name. We were like, we wanted something Italian. Italian boys' names are hard because a lot of them sound kind of rapey. They sound like he'd be born with a gold chain and you know, be a little misogynistic. No offense, Italy, but you blew it kind of. And so we were like, well, Mario, Ferrari. And then we were like, what about a pasta name? And Rigatoni's funny. And then Riggs, we start calling him Riggsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's cute.
He is cute. And he is about to be a year old.
Yesterday
he was officially 11 months.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Buck wild.
Yep.
Yeah. It's so cute.
It's so cute.
It's such a fun age.
It's such a fun age.
What a fun age.
Not what everybody says.
I turned 43 this year. What a fun age.
It is. I like saying it to people once they're middle-aged and over.
Yeah. Oh, that's a fun age.
It's like, it's so condescending or something.
It's the thoughts and prayers of age-related comments. Yeah. I'm sitting here in front of my satellite. Which is cool. Everybody's like, oh, is that a ring light? I'm like, nope, it's a don't kill myself light. And it's
Mikey has a challenging time with the Northwest winters.
Yes. So it gets gray here and I start to get a little bit sadsies. And so I was thinking that our main thrust of our episode today was going to be talking about night food, which is the food that you eat at night, but also when the lights are off in the winter and it's cloudy in Portland, it's 6 months of night
for me. It's kind of eternal night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so
not like Sweden night, but no. like pretty dark.
It's pretty dark.
It's pretty dark. And the clouds, I think the thing, because I grew up in a place that was, I feel like, kind of dark during the winter.
Sure. Notoriously.
But this is different. This is like the clouds hang low. Is that a thing?
Wobble to and fro. Yeah.
Does that really happen? Is like the atmosphere literally lower?
I think the moisture level is higher.
Yeah.
So that makes the clouds maybe hang a little bit lower.
It's kind of like when you're in your stim phase during IVF.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And your ovaries grow to like the size of soccer balls. They just feel like big and damp and heavy.
Sure.
It's kind of what the Northwest winter is. It's a overstimulated ovary.
Yep. It's a like a heavy diaper. You see a kid walking around bow-legged like they've come off of a horse. Yeah, it's a big heavy diaper full of shit all winter here. Well, it's and I think it happens everywhere that it's that it gets dark and has like a wet winter.
Yeah.
You can have days where it's low atmospheric clouds. It doesn't have like the weird part is like I'm from Colorado. I guess there's just not much moisture in the air, so that's the deal. But you can be at 10,000 feet, and it's like, why aren't there low clouds here? And I think it's just because there it's the pressure. I don't know. We need to have a meteorologist on the show. And,
we really do.
Fall asleep during the first 5 minutes of them discussing it. But yeah, it's I find it very difficult. And before we get into that, the main part of the show, the night food experience, I just wanted to talk about something that really brightened up our world recently that's food related, which was my mom had her birthday, her 75th birthday.
Yes, she did.
And so for her birthday, my mom is a food lover. She's a chef. She was a butcher. She worked as a butcher for a while. She's awesome. Loves all things food and loves food shows. So we were like, "What? Who's on Cameo that we can have wish my mom a happy birthday?" And so I was like thinking of, well, I wanted to get Jacques Pepin, my mom's favorite chef.
She would have pooped in her pants.
So yeah, we call him Jacques Pepin his pants. I need to figure out the French word for pants. Jacques Pepin his pantalones. And but we got Lydia Bastianich, who, if you don't know who she is, she's a like the person on PBS. Like she probably has the most famous cooking show on PBS. Her son was caught up in a scandal with Mario Batali where they were illegally selling wine that they had missed, like they skipped taxes on or something, Joel Bastianich, but she's amazing. What is pants?
Pantalon.
Oh, it is pantalon. Yeah. Okay, so he poop in his pantalon. Oh. And so, yeah, but so she, are we going to do it? Oh, so anyways, so you pay Cameo a varying amount of, we haven't talked, Cameo is buck wild. It's such a fun social experiment.
It's amazing.
Because it's what it is how much do you, presently famous person or formerly famous person or like kind of never famous person, how much do you think 20 seconds of your time is worth?
Well, and also how much do you need some scratch? Like how much for do you need some funds?
Yeah, because it's like you can have Drake do one for $5,000.
Is he on Cameo?
I don't think so. But like we should see who the most famous person is. Yeah. The kind of top rate that I've seen is like maybe $1,000. And that's like, I can't even think of who it would be, like a sports person or something.
Yeah.
And then the best ones for me are like Sebastian Bach.
D. Snyder.
D. Snyder. And some of them, and my favorite is, where you at, D?
Yeah.
And I think it's cool when some of them, they're like, $10. Like, kick me $10. I'll tell your mom.
I'll get myself a sandwich.
Yeah.
And I'll tell your mom happy birthday.
Tell your mom happy birthday. I got a punch card at Subway. But my other favorite one is like, I don't know. I don't have them written down, but like I think Sebastian Bach. What was the band he was in?
Ooh,
I don't know. A white rocky band.
White Snake.
I don't know about that. Maybe, but he Warrant. I don't know. But there's guys like that that are like $300. You know, and you're like, get the fuck out of here, bro. So Lydia Bastianich was $90. I think $94, which I felt like was perfect. She just came out with a new cookbook.
Skid Row.
There you go. She just came out with a new cookbook. She's still like very much, I think, in the food ether. Yeah. And I just thought it was great. We write to her. I think it was like 27 hours later.
It was so fast.
Boom. We've got a video from Lydia Bastianich. And Lydia Bastianich is, I think she's first generation. She has a very thick Italian accent. And it was magic. She goes, so
it's perfection.
You write a script. So you say, this is who it's to. This is what it's for. This is like the, you know, what they're in, like, you know, they have specific questions like, you know, how does this person, what's their interaction like with this celebrity? And so, and then it's like, what do you want the message to say? And so it's, so I put, you know, Mikey, Rin, and Riggs. And then it's 75th birthday. My mom watches your show all the time. She loves to cook. She's cooking. Oh, what is she doing for her birthday? Cooking a big meal for the family. Lydia comes on. She's got her phone, let's say, and then an iPad next to her. You can see she's kind of reading. And she's reading basically verbatim what I've written.
It's wonderful.
And she goes, Mickey, Rini, and Riggs. I have to wish you a happy birthday. I said, do the thing.
And then she goes, I asked, what are you doing for your birthday?
For your birthday. It was also, it was just so like, we're not making fun of her accent. She had, it was so cute and heartfelt. And she was like, I hear that you are cooking a big meal for a family. That's lovely. It was so heartfelt. I felt perfect. Like we knew her.
And I, when I first watched it, I cried. Because it was just like, what, did she know Margie?
Well.
It felt like she knew Margie.
The other part was her, the background. She was in like her library or something. And I swear to fuck, it looked exactly like my parents' house.
Totally.
They had the same, a couple of the same cookbooks. And then they had just like this white bookshelf. I was like, oh my God, she might be at my parents' house. Is this what Cameo is?
She sneaks in. In the middle of the night.
It's a $95 breaking and entering video. It's a proof. It's like the proof of life, but it's the proof that like I'm in your fucking house.
Lydia Bastianich, I am forever a fan.
For sure.
You're amazing.
It was so great. And I just thought she was, I don't know. It's, if you need a pick-me-up in the middle of any time in your life, whatever, and you got an extra like $50 to kick around, have Urkel fucking. Totally. Like just zing in and like, hey, it's Jaleel White here. Fucking, can I do that? Happy birthday. Or feel better, Stacey. Or
get Lydia.
Or, I mean, yeah, I should have just said that. Get Lydia.
If you really want to infuse some joy, I for don't know. Sure. She was wonderful.
We might be giving something away, but I don't. We would need some serious smelling salts and a hita. But we were going to give your mom a Jerry Springer. Your mom is like a unrepentant fucking gigantic Jerry Springer
for
fan.
Years, 20+ years.
And we were like, oh my God, we're gonna get him to wish her. And I think he was in the like 250 range.
Yeah, we're gonna split it with my sister and her hubby. Mm-hmm.
And then he went ahead and croaked. Which, and Jerry was dope.
Yeah.
If you don't know about Jerry, there's a podcast that came out recently, maybe This American Life, where it talks about his political career. I mean, he was cool.
He's an interesting dude.
Super liberal. Yeah. Very odd that he did what he did.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, so on to other things, but it was great. So night food.
Yeah.
Night food means a lot of things. It used to mean like, you were drunk. I was drunk and I was going to eat some food. So there's going to be some things that I'm going to talk about in the quiz. And then there's a quiz later. But for us right now, what it is there's this window where we eat dinner with Riggs. We put him to bed, go through the whole shit. And we're like, whew. We have some dessert and we watch TV. And then there's this extra window. And this extra window is time where it's like, we've had a day. Our boy's been screaming. We've had work. We've had whatever. A lot of life stuff. I just need a little something for me.
Yeah.
I need a little something for daddy. And the question is, which direction do we head in? And I think it's really fun because it's where the creativity comes in.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think one of the best, single best moments in network television was when Tina Fey on 30 Rock. Mm-hmm. Was in her apartment in New York City,
yeah.
And it's really late.
Sure.
And she's by herself with a slab of cheese on her counter,
yeah.
Singing, working on my night cheese.
Yeah.
And Alec Baldwin comes into her apartment and catches her doing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says, like, night cheese, funny, whatever.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, working on your night cheese, funny.
But it was just... It like really spoke to my soul, yeah. Because I have always been like a notorious night snacker,
for sure.
And very judgy about it.
Well, she tries to hide it. She's like, I was like working on some emails or whatever. And he's like, no, lemon, night cheese, funny. And I also love that it's to a Bob Seger song that's about night sex.
Yes.
It's working on like early teenage love, you know, lovemaking in the back of your Buick. And I'm like, that's the way I feel about my cheese platter.
Definitely.
Working on my night moves. I might be having sex with this Brie. I don't know. It was literally the reason for this show. I was laying in bed last night, very uncharacteristically for me, awake for like two or three hours in the middle of the night last night. And I was like, working on my night food. I was like, oh, we're going to do a night food episode. Yeah. We should have tried to get The Voice.
Oof.
Isn't that what his name was?
Yeah.
Bob Seger, I think was The Voice.
Yeah.
What they used to call him. Anyways. Yeah, that for me is a big part. Another version of the food world that we had was when Riggsy was first born. Mm-hmm. And we were getting up in the middle of the night And it was fucking crazy.
Multiple
times. And we'd get up at 3 a.m. or whatever. And Rinny would breastfeed. And the agreement was kind of like, I'm going to get up with you. We're all going to do it as a family. It's going to be great. And at first, I'd be like, I'm going to go downstairs and get like some apples and peanut butter. And Rinny would be like, great. That's a healthy, you know, bullshit snack in the middle
good
of the night.
Good choice.
Ooh, good. It's got the protein. It's a fiber. And I was just like, fuck this. Like, we're waking up in the middle of the night. This is bullshit. So I started going to like, I guess it would be Costco, but different places. And I would get like air fryer chicken tenders. Mm. And then I would make these chicken finger platters that were just epic. Because it would be like 2 different dipping sauces, air fried chicken tenders, and then, you know, maybe some grapes or whatever it was. But it was just, I'd come up into our bedroom. We're like, that's not a food zone.
You do not eat in the bedroom?
Don't bring food in there.
No.
Those sex movies back in the day where they would have people dripping chocolate on each other in bed. No. Are you kidding me? Mm-mm. Who's doing your laundry? Those sheets are dead forever. But yeah, those were some of the most epic. Like those were kind of the King Henry V or whatever, VIII moments in our house.
What is your, because I can't remember what your dipping sauce of choice was for your air fryer chicken. Because there was 2 different chicken tenders, right? There was just like
the buffalo ones.
Regular one. And then there were buffalo ones.
Those were the really good ones.
Wow, those were so good.
It's Mary's, is it? I don't know who makes them. Oh, no.
No, it was Applegate Farms. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I normally land on kind of a similar dip, and it's either like Toby's blue cheese dressing, which is the best blue cheese dressing in the world. Mm-hmm. I think it's from Oregon, or it's kind of like a remoulade. Mm-hmm. So it's like mayonnaise, like whole grain mustard, mm-hmm. maybe chopped up pickles, mm-hmm. a little bit of hot sauce. Mm-hmm. That's my kind of a go-to dipping sauce mm-hmm. for things. And yeah, so I definitely did those for sure.
Your dipping sauce last night, I think, is worth mentioning. So we made, we're still trying to experiment with salmon cakes with our boy because he is allergic to eggs.
Right.
Hard. And it's hard to make a cake, a good cake without an egg.
Yeah.
But
binders are hard to do. We talked about flax eggs.
Yep.
They're fine.
Well, flax eggs are great for waffles and pancakes.
Yes.
Really, really good.
Right.
But yeah, we're still kind of experimenting with the, like, if you want to do a nice salmon cake, crab cake kind of experience.
Yeah, it ends up, unless you're super delicate with it in the pan, it ends up being cat food. It's just it's like a loose buckshot version of stringed meat. Woof.
But they were delicious.
They were good.
And your sauce yesterday was really, or your dipping experience was really good. So,
well, we got veganaise or veganaise. I don't know how they're pronouncing it.
Yeah, I got the one, I think it was the... There was only the soy-free one on the shelf. Yeah. So I think they use like pea protein or something instead.
There's it's expeller pressed sunflower oil or whatever. Yep. That's always the
sunflower
first
one. Sunflower, safflower. Oh, either one,
yeah. And they whip a bunch of air into it. That's kind of how it ends up feeling like it's mayonnaise.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think that's the idea of it. And then they have an emulsifier.
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, and this mayonnaise, I'm a mayonnaise. I've definitely talked about it on the show before. I'm like a Best Foods, Duke's, Hellman's. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only shit. Mm-hmm. Miracle Whip, you're a terrorist and a war criminal.
You're something different entirely.
That's not mayonnaise.
Yeah.
That's like being like, I love whipped cream. And then you're like, I love whipped cream too, except my whipped cream is sour cream or something. That's not a good example, but it is. Or my whipped cream is shampoo. It's not a thing. That's a creamy... Salad dressing is what that is.
Sure.
It's a disgusting, like, lotion-based Italian dressing.
Yeah, but this, the veganaise, is that what it is?
Or veganaise?
Veganaise,
And it's good.
It's really good.
It's really good. We used one at a grocery store that I helped out during COVID, and I didn't know the difference. I was like, wow, this is really good mayonnaise. And they're like, well, it's a vegan mayonnaise. So
I should experiment with that with... something like can that go into like I don't know
sandwiches my mouth
well I was thinking like a baking something
how many baked mayonnaise things we do
I was just thinking can it replace
like a baked Alaska
can it replace
could it be a meringue
I'm a mayonnaise can you meringue me
can you bake me I was like oh, you mean those long cooked hot mayonnaise dishes that we're doing? So many of them. I just have like just casseroles galore, just mostly mayonnaise. And what I've always been thinking of is, man, this baked item has too much egg in it. I'd rather have it just have a loose dressing.
And what I'm always thinking is, how can I heat up my mayonnaise?
Slowly and for a long amount of time. Don't microwave your mayonnaise. You want to slow poach it. Oh, God. Well, this is... So we had a guy in college who, German guy, and he was the stonerest guy ever. I should look him up. He was awesome. And he wore those glasses that were like lightly smoked.
Oh.
So you could see his eyes.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Right. And they weren't transitional. Like they wouldn't like change to dark and light or whatever. Sure. They were just a consistent smoky color. And but he would sit in front of the TV super high and would just eat out of a jar of mayonnaise. And
just mayonnaise?
Just mayonnaise. Wow. Yeah. It was something.
That's bold.
God, he had like a girlfriend that was like, we were like, she was so much hotter than him. It was unbelievable.
Did they meet at like a mayonnaise eating
pervert convention?
A food pervert convention. Yeah, we should have him on the show.
Oh, definitely.
That's a food grab. That's a food perversion.
Yeah, that's a food perversion. Yeah. We'll have him on. But yeah, but we, and so in his roommate was this like little guy who was just like kind of sweaty. He looked like Steve Buscemi. He was always kind of sweaty and like bug-eyed and always so high too. But he hated mayonnaise. Mm. And so, but we would fuck with him when he would get like a little too drunk or whatever. He was like a puker.
Oh.
And we would be like, hey, I think his name was James. I would be like, hey, James, what do you think about like hot mayonnaise? Like, what about like if you like microwave some mayonnaise and then you like just put on a toothbrush? And like, and he would just go... And we'll go off and barf. It was great. All right, let's get into some things. So,
right. Well, your dressing was the veganaise.
Oh, right.
The really yummy whole grain mustard.
Yeah. There's a French mustard that I love. That's got like it's in like a clay pot. It's got a red lid on it.
So good.
And very kind of like old Englishy font. It's a little expensive, but like you don't. It's very spicy and yummy, so you don't have to use that much of it. Yeah.
And then what else did you put in there? What was your third ingredient?
Pickled garlic scapes.
Yeah. That's fermented what it was.
Garlic scapes, yeah.
Wow.
Super
this
good.
Was so good.
It was really yummy.
And I sometimes have garlic scapes like in the CSA that we get or something, and I never know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Pickling them, yeah, I guess is a really good idea.
Well, and so a quickle, which I think is the way to pickle anything, is so a lot of people will do things where they like cook the vegetable. Don't do that. Especially if you're getting fresh stuff, trim it, get it to the consistency that you want, size you want or whatever. And then just warm up your pickling liquid, whatever that might be. I'm mostly vinegar guy. Cut it with a little water, not too much sugar. And then just heat it up enough just so that the salt and the sugar will melt. Mm-hmm. And you don't even need to bring it to a boil. Just bring it to like a shiver, 200 degrees or whatever. Let it cool a little bit so it doesn't snap your jars. Put all of your vegetables in the jar and just pour that over it, some smashed garlic cloves, whatever. But just let that warmth do everything it needs to do. That's it. And if it's something that already can be eaten where it's at, like a green bean or something, I think let it cool even a little bit more. Like you just want it to like warm them a little bit. But if they're like snappy and delicious, go with that.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, that's a quickle is the best. You know?
Yeah.
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 The other thing that the two things that we do also a lot, which I think are, one of them is very simple. The other one is a controversial snack. Mm. But the first one's turkey roll-ups.
Mm.
Great snack.
My favorite.
Yeah. I'm a smoked turkey guy.
I am not.
Corinne is a roasted turkey person. And just roll them up.
And Diestel turkey.
Oh, Diestel's so good.
Only way to go.
It's the best turkey.
No weird additives. No like canola oil and I don't know, all kinds of garbage. Milk powder.
Yeah, milk powder. No thanks. But yeah, and then just so then you've got your like mayonnaise or whatever, you can wrap it up with some cheese. Mm-hmm. It's proteiny. Mm-hmm. It's yummy. There's no bread involved. Mm-hmm. Not very guilt-free.
This is my favorite snack because I, for a while, was waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning and I was like troubleshooting, like what's going on? Why am I? And I was waking up kind of hungry.
Sure.
And for me, if I do a, 8 p.m. like protein snack, protein heavy snack.
You're good.
Nuts, cheese, turkey, something like that.
That's another part of the turkey roll-up thing is like throw some nuts on there too.
Get some fat.
Yeah, get some crunch.
It really does just like take my blood sugar through to 12 hours when I'm going to eat again.
And it feels naughty. Like it feels, especially my smoked turkey. Your roasted turkey is boring as shit. But my smoked turkey feels like I'm eating bacon. I'm like, oh man, this is fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's snack for me is, so, you know, I think it's important to, because I always felt like, oh man, I'm eating late at night. I'm a bad person. You're not supposed to do that for your metabolism or whatever the fuck, or I'm supposed to be like eating only for 6 hours a day and then fasting for 17 or whatever.
My equation was always, if I eat, I need to be doing something afterwards to burn those calories. Right, and if I'm not, then I'm just going to be a fat load of turd.
Right. And I just think for some people, you need that extra protein or fat, especially kids need that extra protein fat to get through to the next morning.
I mean, it's a super weird, I was laying awake last night and I think this happens to a lot of people when they're just up and it wasn't that I had like heartburn or it wasn't that I was like nervous about something. I was literally just awake and I was like, sleep is fucking weird. So I ever slept before? Do people just sleep? You just lay down and just, you're off for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't think I'm ever going to sleep again. Like in the middle of the night, you start to think that. And it is an amazing thing to think, like break fast, right? Is the whole derivation of that is that it's, you're breaking the fast of, you know, not eating overnight. And it's like one of the things Obama will talk about, because he's one of those people that does the like, he doesn't do the 2 hour sleep things or the 20 minute sleep things like Benjamin Franklin did.
But he gets up at 4 a.m. or something.
He gets up at super like 3:30 or 4 or something like that. And I think also takes like a nap or whatever. But I think one of the things he talks about is he eats.
Right.
He gets up and he eats like protein and he drinks something that's like, you know, like I think he's a bulletproof guy or something like that.
Right.
But I totally get it.
Yeah.
Because it's weird to like, you go to sleep for 8 hours and you don't eat or drink anything or whatever. And then you just wake up and you're like, wow, waffles. I don't know.
I think what we're saying is give yourself permission. If you feel like you're hungry before you go to sleep, give yourself a little something.
I know you're asking for our permission.
We're going to give it to you.
You're allowed.
We make lots of food allowances here.
Yeah. The last thing I was going to talk about. Oh, well, I was going to talk about, well, popcorn.
Mm.
So popcorn, I think we've talked about it on the show. It's a hot button issue in our family.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rin's family is very popcorny. My family used to be popcorny. And Rin's family, they're tooth eaters.
Yes, we did talk about this.
So they cook their popcorn in a pot and it gets half of its fucking burned and its teeth and there's fucking half of them are unpopped and you get like this rattly ass bowl of popcorn and they're like, there's no other way to cook it. And I come from an air popper family.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we found this mushroom popcorn here that puffs up to like the size of a ping pong ball. They're so amazing. They're so good. So locally good. Grown. So we air pop. I butter. Rinny coconut oils.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been doing white cheddar cheese powder. Mm. Organic white cheddar cheese powder from this company. And then salt. And it's, I'm sorry. My popcorn fucks harder than anyone's popcorn. And I will go like toe-to-toe Super Bowl level competition on popcorn.
God, that is a really good night snack.
Yeah, it's super good. And popcorn, it's a whole grain.
Yeah, it's a grain. I do less well with a grain at night. Because it is a little like blood sugar spiky for me. But, you know, you're putting the cheese powder on there. So you are getting a little
protein.
So
I've also found, though, in my world, I think I have a little bit of a dairy thing. So if I eat cheese late at night or in even like a heavily cheesed dinner, I get a little heartburn.
Interesting.
Yeah. And my heartburn remedy, I probably talked about on the show, it's apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
Just the apple cider vinegar. If you can drink it straight, great. But I usually cut it with just a little bit of water just to make it not super intense.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, it's like, and it seems so counterintuitive, right?
Right.
I feel like I've got extra acid in my body.
Right.
Bubbling up with acid.
Right.
But it means that you don't have enough, right?
Yeah. Oftentimes it is. It's this hypochloridia. So, you know, lack of stomach acid.
Right.
Too little stomach acid, which is
wild.
Is true for a lot of adults. And especially, you know, as you age, it makes sense, right? Your body's just producing less of everything.
I mean, I feel like I'm producing plenty of wrinkles and poops.
And so it is, it's a really cool remedy to try if you do get heartburn, to do like, I usually do a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. Ounces. And yeah, you can do more.
I usually do kind of as much as I can drink.
Apple cider vinegar is also really nice before a meal. Because you can kind of get those digestive juices flowing. It's why I do my warm water with lemon in the morning.
Oh, that's smart. I know. And it's one of those, I haven't heard many people, the shrubs are such a big thing in the kind of NA mm-hmm. cocktail world. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard many people talking about it from the kind of like gut biome, I don't know, digestive sort of realm. I think you could make an argument that could be like, that's why it's a good cocktail to have or whatever.
Sure.
Because the alcohol kind of counteracts that.
Yeah. Bitters is the same, right? Oh, yeah. It's all, you know, these are all like digestive support situations.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, one of the best things that you can do, like cheap, easy things that you can do for yourself is before breakfast in the morning, warm up some water.
Yeah.
And either squeeze like half a lemon in there or do at least a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar.
With the mother.
Yeah.
You want it to have it. So you want the cloudy, the one that's kind of got the stuff at the bottom of
the apple cider. And it doesn't have to be Bragg's. It can be whatever, you know, whatever brand you like.
Sure. But 365. I mean, everybody's got that kind of an organic version of it.
Like, yep. But make sure when you pick it up, you can see that little cloudy blob in there. Yeah, that's good. it's a super inexpensive way to really get your digestive juices firing before and, you know, wake up your liver. It's really made a profound difference in my like morning appetite, my morning poop, all the things.
I love that.
Yeah. You know what that sound means. And if you don't, you're lucky, but you're about to.
It's a Mikey Quiz-a-thon. Mikey Quiz-a-thon. Cha cha cha. Okay, so we've got a night quiz working on my night quiz. So this is the quiz, Mikey Quizathons. I will ask Corinne. It's going to be three questions today. The answers are answers that I only know, and you almost can't win this ever. Mm-hmm. And that's the fun part of it for everyone, including you, the listener, and my wife, the contestants.
So fun. All the insider baseball of it.
You're
so
damn
fun.
Right. Yep. Insider baseball of my own head. The field in my head of baseball. The field of dreams.
Field of dreams.
That is my gray matter. Okay. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. What is the best late night food?
It feels like you got the most lit up about the buffalo chicken tenders that we used to eat at 3 a.m.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Final answer?
Yes.
Okay. Unclear. Unclear?
I thought I was very clear.
Super clear. Incorrect is what I meant to say. So the best late night food was when I was in college, and I used to call it Hungry Horny. And at the end of the night, I would, if I wasn't lucky enough to have found another human who wanted to come home and
which was so rare
make kisses that was with me
so rare for
that
you
that I didn't find someone so rare. I mean, my bed was warm most of the time, if you know what I'm saying. Bing bong. But if I did not find a partner for the evening, I would, on the way home from the bar, I would call Mama Teresa's, which was my pizza place.
Mama T's,
and I would order a pizza that was almost the size of the table that we're recording at. It was like a 2-foot pizza. I mean, enough pizza for like a whole house.
A party.
Uh-huh. And then by the time I would get home, it would oftentimes be delivered. And I would go to my room, not eat in the living room. I'd go to my room and I'd put like on
a real troll.
Oh, some movie. I'd put on probably like Boondock Saints or something. And I would eat so much of the pizza that I would be like wildly uncomfortable.
Sure.
So full.
Well, you've also had 85 Natty Lights before you've gotten home. So many of them. So.
Plenty of them. Mm-hmm. And then I would get nervous that my roommates were going to eat this pizza if I put it in the fridge downstairs. And so I would do one of two things. I would either, there was one time where I put it on the window, the roof of our house outside my window, because it was winter and I could just leave it out there. And the box was the size of my room. So I put it out there. I had to take the screen off and put it out there. And other times I would try to ram it into my little fridge that I had in there, but which was nearly impossible. a lot of times I would just eat the rest of the pizza.
I love the college food scarcity situation when you've got like 100 roommates and you're like, I bought this.
Yeah, it's
and
mine.
This is all the money I have this week.
Yeah.
And I need to eat tomorrow.
Food crime that we could have on the show was my roommate Rich, who I don't actually know if it was him or Todd, two roommates. But they would order fast food. They get fast food. They get like McDonald's or something or Taco Bell, and then they would eat like half of a taco, and they would wrap it up again and leave it in the fridge.
No,
I think that is like
no.
You eat. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, you shame eat that.
You eat that in the parking lot.
Yeah,
and then nothing comes home with you.
Correct.
The fact that it would remain in my fridge next to like my milk, maybe my vitamins, a birthday cake for my child. That's a hallowed place. Like you can't hallowed place. Can't have a fucking fast food taco in there.
True.
So anyways, okay, 0 for 1. Okay, what is the most what's the most stealable late night snack?
Stealable?
Stealable. Theft worthy.
Well, your popcorn. Your popcorn is what I often get my little mitts into.
That's a good answer, actually. Yeah, because I will make it. I'll be like, Rin, do you want some popcorn? She's like, no,
I'm good.
And then I'll come in and before I know it, she's clawing
classic
away
Rin.
At my popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Not the right answer. The best, most stealable snack is Don Juan's burritos from 7-Eleven.
Like literally stealable?
And what we would do is we would go buy one of them,
uh-huh.
and I would have already pocketed two of them. But pay for the one and then go back and microwave it. But I would shove all three in at the same time. And then I would have hot, I would shove two of them down my pants again.
You'd have pocket burritos?
Pocket burritos.
Oh.
And then one of them walk out and be like, hey, thanks. Holding my one burrito and I eat that out front. I go around the corner and eat the other two. Yeah.
Like just for the thrill of it? Because they were probably what?
They were like 79
55
cents.
Yeah.
They were so good. I don't think they were, but they were really good.
And you just stole just because it was like kind of naughty.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I might not have had the money for it. I probably did. But yeah. But it was cool.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 0 for 2. Mm. And also 0 for 1 for me because I was a loser for stealing from 7-Eleven. Fuck 7-Eleven, though. They don't deserve my money. Okay. Last question. Oh, God. I don't remember the answer to this. Shoot. Let me think about it. Okay. I got it. So the best, what is the best snack for a group?
Snack for a group.
Is this the right answer? Do I have the right answer in my head? Oh, I think it is. I think it's where I was going with this. Yeah. So the best snack for a group.
Best snack for a group.
Yeah.
Anything where there's enough of it.
Oh, that's good.
It's just the worst to be in a group and to have like a little picnic situation or something. And then there's like one little serving left and nobody's had enough.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
oof,
who takes it?
Are we allowed to just order delivery to this house party?
Right.
That's
right.
Condescending.
Yeah.
Okay. 0 for 3. again, I also don't know if this is the answer that I was thinking of, but it's a very seasonal one. And the answer is Halloween candy. Which you should never buy too early, but I've been walking past the displays in the supermarkets and I'm like, I could just get some, Butterfingers are going to go up in price unless I buy them now.
There's a sale right now.
There's a sale right now on these little Snickers.
Yeah.
And so yeah, best for a group, but also great for a group of my cells that want to get together and eat fun sized Snickers until I have diabetes. Yeah. So anyway, 0 for 3, you lost again. That's okay. Still love you.
I am loving you less and less with every
That's
quiz.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love me less and less with every cloudy day that we have here. So I have what I've called seasonal affective disorder, but it's seasonal eating disorder. So it's SED. right, SED, Fred? I'm going to eat until I'm dead. I love you.
Love you.
Everybody, welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In, the end of the show. Thanks for coming. We love you.
Let's eat at MikeyandRin.com. Better way to reach out to us is to send us a message on Instagram.
For sure.
Mikey and Rin.
That's it. We love you. Send us your favorite Halloween candy recipes.
and your favorite baked mayonnaise recipes.
Yeah, if you have a baked mayonnaise, if you have a baked Alaska, I guess maybe it's not baked Alaska. It's probably baked. What's the most mayonnaise-y state?
Baked Dakota.
Oh, it does feel like a Dakota. Send us your favorite baked. It's got a K in it too. Send us your favorite baked Dakota hot mayonnaise dish, and we'll serve it at our next function. Love
Reedy's first birthday.
Oh, gross. Love you.
Love you.
Goodbye.